podcast about? Are we just chatting, or is there subject matters we have to reach?
Yep.
Oh, there's a lot we have to go over.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it feels really loud.
Well, that's all
right.
Is
it loud in
your ear? Well, it sounds fine to me, but I'm probably going deaf.
Jim?
You've got an F Troop poster.
Yeah.
Is this where that was filmed? Probably.
Oh, fuck. Probably. Right here. Hey, Jim. Thank you so much for fucking
Thank you
being
for
here.
Having me. Thank you.
I'm sorry that my producer, Sim Sarna, is a fucking dick sometimes.
What did
I've
he
been
do?
Really nice to you, Jim.
No, I haven't had a problem with you. You've been probably the nicest person I've ever met in Hollywood.
Thank you so
which
much.
Which on the scale of things doesn't make you that great, but for you, I thought you were pretty nice.
Would you like a burrito, by the way?
I just,
are you hungry?
No, I just ate. I just ate at that place All About the Bread and had a meatball sub. So the last thing I need is a burrito.
I've had one of those. It's
all right.
I like the bread, though. It is all about the
it
bread.
It is all about the bread.
The
it's a very chewy bread. They have another sandwich called the Godfather, which is just every bit of deli meat just on that bread. But it's, water. I'll have that. An Icelandic water. I don't know if we're doing promos on this particular podcast, but
we can.
But I do endorse this water as a reasonably good water.
Well, you have a couple of podcasts, too, huh?
Comedy Central just told me, like, so I got my TV show that's on Tuesdays, and then they just told me one day, they go, you should do a podcast about the TV show, about the writing process of the TV show, so that will advertise the TV show. So I was like, all right, we can do it on the same day, and we'll have a couple of writers on it, whatever. And now they're like, on the TV show, you should advertise the podcast. And I said, what's fucking advertising what then? You know what I mean? Like it's like a Russian doll of entertainment until eventually we just get down. You should advertise your tweets on the podcast so that your tweets will advertise the show, which will advertise it. You know what I mean? So I'm doing one, but it's always, I'm always a little drunk in it because we after the show, I have a couple of drinks. And then by the time we podcast, I'm a little cut in the thing, yeah.
I have to ask one question before. I know, Anna, I'm so sorry. I know this
no,
is your
no.
interview.
Oh, my God, no.
But I love your show. When I saw it the first time, Brad Pitt showed up, it blew my mind. What the fuck? Explain that to me, please.
Brad, I guess I'm buddies with Brad Pitt. I don't know if I am. Like, I still get nervous texting him, so I assume we're not good friends. You know,
fuck.
I still...
Like, what a crazy statement. I still get nervous texting Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I still do.
Like, how surreal is that?
I still go, I don't want to be too needy. And if he texts, I don't text straight back.
Where's your phone and what's your code?
Yeah, I've just been taken by one of your people, actually.
Yes, that's true.
But yeah, I still get nervous being texted by Brad Pitt. And what happened was he had a movie on Netflix and... what happened was Netflix were toying around with the idea of doing extra features on their stuff, which they haven't done. And so they wanted Brad Pitt to be interviewed for his movie, War Machine. And what happened was they said, who do you want to have interview? And he said, Jim Jefferies. And I'd never interviewed anyone. And so I said, all right. I said, sure, I'll do that. I'll interview Brad Pitt. And I was nervous as hell. And then afterwards, he rings up my management. He goes, oh, tell him I'll be on his TV show. What's happened? Is that me?
Time has expired.
Oh, okay. We can't talk anymore. But anyway.
Thank you so much for coming.
He offered to be on the show.
He asked to be on the show. And then I just said, because we have the same management company. I said to my management, I said, oh, well, maybe he could be like my weatherman. They said, that's a terrible idea. That's a terrible move for him. Don't do that. Maybe you should ask him about the houses that he builds in New Orleans and all the environmental things that he does to better the world. And I was like, I don't know. It's sort of funny if he's like my weatherman, right? And so I ring him up and I go, hey, do you want to talk about your house in New Orleans? He goes, don't like it, don't like it, don't like it, don't like it. Do you want to be my weatherman? He goes, love it, see you Tuesday, right? But then I was the only point of contact he had for the show, so I went and told all the writers. I said, Brad Pitt's coming on Tuesday, and they're like, what? I go, he's coming on Tuesday and he's going to be our weatherman, so write a sketch. And then I told the directors, and then he showed up half an hour late. It was that weird bit of like, are you sure he's coming? I'm like, he's my friend and he's coming, he said he's gonna be here. Anyway, he did show up. But it's you asked. I don't know. It's not a great story, but yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah, he comes and does the show. I think he'll do The Weatherman again, but he's doing a movie or something at the moment. He's got a real career apart from being my weatherman that he has to take care of.
Do you pay him?
You have to. It's the,
yeah,
it's,
so you pay him like to scale
like
whatever
400
it is?
Bucks or whatever it is to appear on a TV show.
Amazing.
Yeah, 400
That's
bucks
amazing.
Or something, yeah.
I So wait, can I ask you, so when did you move to the States?
8 years ago. And I was living, I'm Australian, but I lived in the UK for 10 years before that. So,
Okay, can I ask you, like, the top three things that you miss about Australia? Maybe four.
Top three things I miss about Australia. I think Australian food's the best in the world.
Like how? What do you mean?
It's just fresh and it's there's no chemicals like, pumped into it. There's no trans fats.
What's the dish that you really miss?
Oh, Thai food in Sydney.
Okay. So there's a specific restaurant that you love.
There's a few restaurants. There's a whole area. They claim that Thai food in Sydney is better than Thai food in Thailand because it's the same chefs but with the better produce. So it's like, you know, we're very close to Asia. I think Asian food, Chinese and Thai and all that is far superior in Australia. And I think we do, but then there was also the things that America does better, the hot dogs and the hamburgers and all the sandwiches and all that type of stuff. And now I feel like Australia's doing that good as well. So, you know, but I like the food. I miss Sydney. Sydney's a very special city to me. And who else do I miss? I'm going to say one of my brothers, and I have two brothers. They're probably both listening right now, and you can fight amongst yourselves who I miss more. So I'm going to say one of my brothers, but I won't say who.
It's true, though. You're right. Sydney is an incredible.
You've been to Sydney?
Yeah.
It's nice, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's the harbour. The harbour is just
the quality of life there, like the parrots, those crazy wolf bats, like the whole thing is just magical.
What you remember is the wolf bats?
I love that.
That's
I
mean, the thing about bats is like growing up in a city that has a shitload of bats. It's like, you know when a bird shits on your car and that's like annoying, right? Try having like an animal that's Guana? Like a bird, right? But does monkey-sized shits. And that's real. Like you wake up, your car's covered in like a black, not like a white bird shit, like a black shit is on your car. And you're like, fucking bats. Anyway, that's what I remember about the bats. My dad has all those crazy parrots and stuff come and visit him. That's like what he sort of does now. He sort of feeds birds from his veranda and they fly up to him and stuff.
Okay, but I read that your dad is a cabinet maker.
He was a cabinet maker. Yeah, he's a carpenter, a cabinet maker. And then, he was a master craftsman. I always use the argument that I'm the son of a carpenter, like Jesus. And that's
do you know that I have a list of men in professions that you should never date?
Right.
And the only one that sort of makes the cut is a woodworker.
What, that you shouldn't date?
No, that's the only one that it's like okay to date.
Out of all the professions that men?
Out of all the professions.
So stand-up comedians,
you're like fucking number one.
We're public enemy number one. We're the worst.
Oh my God, you're dark, you're narcissistic.
We're away every weekend, we're never there.
Oh God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we think we're geniuses.
Your beautiful girlfriend is here, and I'm sorry to lay that on you. And listen,
she's very well aware. She's very well aware of all these things.
But no, so maybe, are your parents still married?
My parents are unhappily married now for 50 years. They 50 years. They must be reaching their 50-year anniversary because I'm 40 and I got two older brothers. It would be very close to 50 years now. And
were they really supportive of you pursuing all this?
Not to begin. I had a somewhat, when I say promising, I could have at one stage had a job in musical theater or opera, just in the chorus. That's what I studied.
So you sing?
I used to be able to sing, but I don't sing anymore. I can still sing in tune, but I've had nodules on my vocal cords, and I always blame it on because I talk all day on stage, but the real reason is cocaine and cigarettes and you know what I mean.
Fuck
all
yeah.
All that rubbish is the real reason.
You stay late.
Yeah. And so I used to sing, and I sang in two. I did the same university course that Hugh Jackman did, and that was the big thing that Hugh Jackman went to, and he studied musical theater, and then he went on to be whatever he went on to be. But when I was in university, Hugh Jackman was just on the cusp of getting X-Men. Like, he'd been in a couple of Australian films, and it wasn't internationally famous yet. And I remember, like, the female school teachers, the acting teachers and the singing teachers would just gush when they mentioned his name. They'd go, "When Hugh was here." Oh, and I remember thinking, fuck that cunt, man. What's he going to fucking do? He's in a couple of fucking, and then the next week he was Wolverine. Anyway, well done, Hugh. You're doing a wonderful job and you're flying the Australian flag and you're making us all very proud.
If I were to pitch a Marvel movie to you
yeah.
about a wolf bat,
A wolf bat? Wolf Batman?
Yeah, what do you
think? It already sells itself. It's Wolverine, like, it's Batman, yeah, it's Wolf Batman. Yeah.
We want an all-Australian cast.
Yeah.
Like, your character would be...
I'd be like the Penguin, but a taller version. Just like a...
You come out in the evening, you shit all over cars.
But that's what I do anyway. But this is the thing. Is that my superhero
you
skill?
You shit all over the or does that make Batmobile.
Or does that make me a villain? Because I'm shitting on the cars.
No.
It's more of a nuisance than a villain.
Well, not in my version.
No.
No, you're shitting all over the fucking place. And it's like guana. Isn't that what they call it? Like, it's guana, right?
You're talking about iguanas?
No. I think the official name for bat poop is guana. Thank you, Cassie. Yeah, Cassie is nodding.
Yeah, because you can't see this podcast right now, Cassie is in a massage chair, and she Googles things from the comfort of a massage chair. Like, the stressful job you've got there.
Yes. It's like because of my fucking producer dick over here.
I should be sitting on that chair.
Oh, you couldn't handle that.
Have you
seen those adverts at the moment for those desks that prop up, and it's like sitting is the new smoking, and I'm like, really. Really? Because I find sitting a bit stressful. Like, if none of you were here, I'd be laying down. There's no way I'd be sitting upright watching TV. I've got a seat in my house. I've never sat in it. I'm laying constantly. So if sitting's the new smoking, is like laying down the new heroin. Like, how bad am I?
Oh, God. So will, like, all indulgences just sit, like, simply an indulgence? Like the piquito mas burrito I ate earlier.
Piquito mas burrito. Oh, you do. I didn't know it was piquito mas burritos. I would have taken one.
Oh yeah, but
have you got shrimp ones?
Just chicken.
Oh yeah, I like the prawns.
Sorry, I didn't know your preferences, Jim.
Yeah, I'm a big. So that's the one thing about Australian prawns, hands down the best thing. But there is a difference. I found out there's a difference between shrimp and prawns. They are a different species of bottom feeder.
Prawns are bigger, right?
Prawns are bigger, but this is the thing in America. Shrimp means small, and so prawn, and they've got different amount of legs or something. And prawns, we have tiger prawns, where there's like 30 different variety of species of prawns. But then the thing is, in America, when you have a prawn, you just call it a jumbo shrimp. Why would you do that? Just a big small.
Because we're a jumbo country.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think of ourselves as just extra.
Yeah, you are.
Like, you know, supersize us, right? I guess.
I try to hear the Spurlock, the next Spurlock movie is all about chicken.
Like how?
I don't know. Like, you know how he put us all off McDonald's with Super Size Me? He's going to fuck chicken up.
Oh, boy.
I don't like that. I don't want to see, like, some shed with them all with their legs broken and they're bashing into each other. Just let me eat fucking chicken. Stop it, Spurlock. You're ruining everything.
They're a little, like, scratchy claws and whatnot, but I love chicken.
Yeah, you've got 10 burritos.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never met a person with more chicken burritos at one time.
I always ask her for a steak or carne asada burrito, and no, she will only order chicken. She says no to me.
It's steak or a carne asada. It's just steak.
It's just steak. Yeah.
I hate how with certain things we have to learn a little bit of Spanish.
Free burritos.
I do get free burritos from you. That's true. Thank you for that. I prefer steak.
Do you know what I have to do?
How low is the budget for your sitcom?
No kidding.
Where you have to buy your own fucking burritos. Like, well, what's wrong with the craft services on the set of Mum?
It's actually...
In Australia, is your show called Mum, M-U-M? Because no one goes, Mom. Mum.
Mum.
Like the mummy.
Mummy.
Yeah. Mummy.
Mommy. Okay, we're trying out a new segment.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
All right, this is called Pick Your Fate.
Okay.
Would you rather marry your ex or spend a year in jail?
How long do I have to be married to my ex for?
Ooh, good question. Fuck, we didn't think about this part. Let's say 4 years and...
Or 4 years, No, because a year in jail is horrible. That involves anal rape and whatnot. Yes, 4 years, but if it was a lifetime, I'd just spend a year in jail. If I had to marry...
What kind of jail, though? A federal prison? A year in federal prison?
Do you view yourself as a victim in jail?
Everyone's a victim. What are you saying, that I'm spending a year in... Oh, am I one of the fucking guards? What am I doing there?
Well, you could... No, you're definitely in jail.
I'm in jail.
Yeah, for a crime that, I don't know, you probably committed. You know, let's say, what if you were like a leader in jail and you weren't a victim? I don't know.
No, I'd take the year in jail.
Year in jail.
And a lifetime of being married...
Four years. 4 years you could do.
4 years I could marry my fucking dad for 4 years. You know what I mean? 4 years.
So you'd rather fuck your father than fuck some. Like
I would rather have sex with my dad than go to prison for a year. That's an easy answer, that one. You haven't met my dad. He's a master craftsman.
I love it that the idea that your brothers and your dad may be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, my dad's
like, oh, we're
my
so
dad's
proud.
Gonna figure out how to fucking
while
download
he's
a podcast.
Cabinets.
That's what's gonna happen.
No, no,
my
no.
dad's still I'm my dad still reads Playboy because he can't find the internet porn. It's true. He said, oh, your mother's put a block on that computer. There's porn in there somewhere, but your mother's made it so it's hard to find. And then I went, Dad, there's nothing wrong with it. You can get to porn very quickly. Because I think my dad just yells at the screen, porn. Porn. Nothing comes out.
And it's sort of, to an American ear, sounds a little bit like prawn.
Yeah,
prawn. Which we can bring it all back.
Yeah, it's all coming back. Jumbo shrimp. Oh, here we go. There's some titties.
Okay, next question. Become a vegan for life become a vegan for life or lose your pinky finger.
Oh, no, lose my pinky finger.
Yeah? Which one? Left or right?
You can have them both, meat and meat. I would do vegetarian, but I wouldn't do vegan. I wouldn't do vegan. That's ridiculous. Those people are stupid. Fucking not eating cheese or eggs or anything. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Like, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to stop you. But it's the same as when you meet extremely religious people. Like, if you want to have that belief system, go for your life. But I'm not. And also, you've made your choice. There's all these restaurants popping up. And now you're having, like there's a place called Doomies, which I do quite like the Doomies, which makes, like, a Big Mac made of vegan stuff. No, you've made your choice. Don't start having shit that's shaped like meat. It's not like I get meat and shape it like a carrot. No, and then color it in orange. Go, tastes just like carrot. No.
It is like a weird trick.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to fool themselves like, oh, I'm eating meat, but I'm not. It's fucking the things you can do with soy. Yeah, no, fuck those people. No, I'll get rid of both. You can take a hand. You can take one of me hands. I wouldn't be a vegan.
Which one?
My left one's useless. This one's useless.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the right one does all the masturbating.
Your girlfriend is doing something. She's making the international jerk-off symbol.
Yeah. The right one masturbates. It writes things. It holds the microphone for the most part. The right one's an amazing athlete. This one's just... If there was like a sitcom, like a cop buddy series about my two hands, one of them, this one would just be like, yeah, we solved the mission together. And it'd be like, of course we did, left hand. You were a lot of help. Yeah, I help steady things up. So anyway.
Do you know what this is? I was going to ask Cassie to maybe grab a saw from downstairs so we could sort of really try this out. But
yeah, but I'm still going to eat meat anyway. These are all hypotheticals, and now you're cutting off my hand. I wouldn't have done the podcast if I thought I was going to lose a fucking hand. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, listen, we got you here in my dressing room.
We
here
did.
At Mom.
We did. Next question. Come on. This one's getting
up.
A bit
right.
dark.
All right. Lose your ability to have an orgasm or lose all your money.
Lose my ability to have an orgasm.
And I would lose
my ability to have an orgasm. And the reason for that is this.
Because you've experienced it before.
I've experienced it before. But it's also, it's like, once you stop having orgasm, I assume that my sexual drive would go away. And that's something that I've been praying for my entire life. I would love to have no sex drive and just be walking around like, fucking, you can't hurt me. just to the world. Like just being able to walk into a bar and have a pretty girl look at me and go, get out of my way. I'm trying to get a drink. You know, like that would be just a wonderful... wonderful experience.
Okay.
Like getting off a fucking wild animal or something. Yeah, get rid of my sexual.
Here's a question.
Looking forward to that day.
So for you, okay, question for the men here. Do you think that you experienced orgasms like more powerfully when you were like young? Like at 14
I think I have more powerful orgasms now.
Me too.
Really?
Because they take longer and I have to work for them more. When I was 14, it was like bang, 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 like that, right? And it was just like, oh, let's do it again.
But I also know how to plan my orgasms now.
Yeah.
I know how to plan them so they're better.
They truly feel physically more powerful now.
Well, I know how to make my orgasms feel better.
Yeah, I just know that coming now is a bigger deal because it's, you know, it's still free. I couple of times a day or whatever like that. But when you're a teenager, you can do it like 10 times a day. Shoot them out. Now it's just more of a treat.
The first time I had,
You know what I mean? Like, you want an honest answer. It's like, oh, go on, Jim. Go into your room and treat yourself.
That's a good point.
How about you? Do you feel yours are more powerful now than they were when you were a teenager?
It's different. Right. It's different. Like, the first time
less men in the room now?
Less relatives. No, but the first time, I think it felt like falling through space. That's what it felt like. It was like, you know, like those.
I remember masturbating several times before I could ejaculate and just getting the tingle. And then just like having, like, I hadn't seen porn or anything. It was you know, it was the fucking 80s. Who'd seen it, right? And as a kid.
Did you see, wait, sorry, I didn't, but what about your dad's Playboys?
Yeah, but they were Playboys. They were just naked women I'd seen. But I'd never seen a penis ejaculate in any way. And then the first time I just had like a drop of cum, just go bloop like that, right? And thinking, that can't be good. Because every other white fluid that has come out of my body has been through some type of infection or illness. And now I'm like, oh no, I should tell someone about that. And then... You know what I mean? Like, I was young. I was like,
and did you tell your mom?
I was like 10. No, my mother once caught me masturbating when I was about 13. And it was just, it's tattooed on my brain as one of the most horrific things. She came into my room and it was about 40 degrees Celsius, very hot Australian day, so like 105 or something, right? And I'm in there and I was just prepping for the wank. I had a couple of magazines. And I had my pants sort of hitched down to about my knees.
Oh, are you on the bed or are you standing up?
I'm laying on the bed. I'm reading the magazines. I'm getting ready. And then my mother's a large-ish woman, and you can hear her. She's barreling down the hallway. She's angry about something. And as she comes to open my door, in one motion, I pull the duvet over, my doona over the top of me, and I throw the magazines just down the side of the bed. And so I'm laying there. It's blisteringly hot. We didn't have air conditioning. And for some reason, in the middle of the day, I'm just laying under my duvet, just staring at her. And she goes, make sure you clean this fucking room. My mother was a rageaholic, right? And she said, make sure you clean this room. And I'm like, all right, Mum, I'll be right onto that. And then it's like, that was the only time I never fought back with her. And she's like, fucking something's up, right? And so she goes, what are you doing under there? I go, we're having a nap. I decided to have a nap. She goes, you haven't had a nap in years. What are you talking about? You're having a nap. I said, Mum, can you just go? She goes, what are you hiding?
Oh, boy.
And she starts.
This is traumatizing.
This is traumatizing. She starts pulling on the duvet.
No.
Right?
No,
so
no,
she's
no.
pulling and pulling and pulling. Now, because that, whatever reason, erection strengthens. Right now, she's pulling. We've got a 300-pound woman on one side of the duvet, and I'm holding it just with my little claws up near me chest. And then is that bit when you're having a tug-of-war battle and you're losing dramatically, and then you're like, let's just let go and watch the other cunts fall over, right? That's the only win that you have left in this scenario. And so I just, in one motion... I don't know why I'm telling this in a podcast, but I just in one motion let go of the duvet. She smashed into the cupboard, and in one motion I flipped over onto my stomach, and my 12 or 13-year-old little sweaty ass was glistening in the wind. And my mother said the immortal words, "You disgust me."
Oh, brutal.
You disgust me.
God. Oh, did that fuck you up guilt-wise?
It did for a little bit, but then...
Did you feel guilty about, like...
Well, we laugh about it now at Christmas dinners and stuff like that. Like, everyone...
I love this.
That's a story that gets brought out about the time was masturbating, yeah. I once saw one of my brothers masturbate by accident. That we still haven't spoken about that. So if you're listening,
mate...
And
you have a son...
I do.
So, like, I have a son. Mm. I'm definitely anticipating, like, the crunchy... Socks,
yeah,
sheets.
I don't know who would think this is masturbating into a sock thing.
I never understood that.
I heard that as a thing. Like, I heard about it. I tried it once. It was about two strokes. I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. Fucking scratchy cotton around my penis. What a ridiculous.
Oh, I always thought that it was just for the cleanup factor.
Well, I think that, like, some guys finish so that they can catch the cum. And then, but to be honest with you, I just sort of smeared it into my stomach, let it soak in, and went to sleep.
That's why you have the softest stomach that I've ever felt.
Yeah. I know that girls don't find this attractive in any way, but this is my only sexual thing that I think I have over most men.
Ooh, I love this.
I get extraordinary distance on my semen, on my ejaculations.
Oh.
Like, I get like...
Why wouldn't we love this?
Pineapple juice. No. You drink pineapple juice?
I drink tons of pineapple juice.
That's.
I have a pin tail on the donkey.
I read that in Tommy Lee's book.
No, they make Tommy it taste Lane. Better.
What?
Pineapple juice makes it taste better. It like, sweetens it.
Oh, yeah. I thought it gives it distance.
Oh, no. I don't know. But no? I'm the king of pineapple juice. But...
But you might be right about the sweet. It makes more sense. It sweetens it.
It sweetens the coffee. But I actually just like pineapple juice, and having sweet cum is a payoff because when you get a lot of distance, if you masturbate on your back like
do
I
you
do,
see my fruit platter
several times
over
I've
there?
Shot myself in the mouth.
I've got a fruit platter over there.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big watermelon guy. I like pineapple in juice form, but not as much in edible form. Well, you got some rock melon over there, but you call that cantaloupe. See how our cultures are different. I call it rock melon.
Rock melon?
Yeah, cantaloupe. We call it rock melon.
Probably makes more sense. That doesn't.
This is like a really shitty B-52 song. Rock melon. Rock melon.
Okay, deal breakers.
Okay.
You find.
Imagine you're single.
Okay.
You find out she's writing a one-act play based on your relationship of 1 month.
Mm-hmm. She's writing a one-act play about it?
Yeah, is that a deal breaker or not?
No, be honest, that is not a deal breaker because I'd have to... Is she a playwright or has she got a different occupation and she's just doing this as a psycho side hobby? Because if she's a playwright, because I could do stand-up routines in the first month of our relationship and I don't think that makes me a psycho. It's just that my work and my personal life intertwine so much that I, you know, so if she's a playwright and she thinks that like this is an interesting sociological thing, the first month of a relationship, isn't it weird how we're both trying to impress each other and we haven't gotten to the stage yet where we're sharing a toothbrush, but we're not, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing, I'm fine with it. But if it turns out that she's an accountant and she's also
she's
writing
a receptionist,
this play,
she's a receptionist and she weirdly like, she just wants you to drink a ton of pineapple juice all the time.
Well, that's all right. No, that's not a deal breaker. That's probably an
incentive.
It's a girl who's trying to... that's not a deal breaker. The playwright thing I could handle. I might find it odd. It depends on the play. I'm pretty sure that's not a deal breaker.
Okay.
Am I the first person on the podcast to say no to that? Is everyone else being like, oh, that's not a deal breaker?
We don't reuse anything.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
Yeah. So incredibly brilliant original material. Okay, she has the same name as your mom.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah?
Is it just a first name?
What's your mom's name?
My name's Carolyn Nugent.
It might be the whole name.
Yeah, Carolyn Nugent.
But she's fucking smoking.
I went out with a girl who wore the same perfume as my mother.
Oh, perfume?
And it was Poison by Christian Dior.
Oh boy.
Is it called Poison?
Yes, I love it that your mom, the like masturbating busting.
My mother was rocking out Poison in the 80s through the 90s. For about 15 years she was wearing a lot of Poison. And it was sort of a younger girl's perfume at that stage, but my mother liked it. I dated a girl and I was like, You smell what? And she goes, puts Poison by Chris. And I went, oh, well, it's nice spending time with you. Yeah, no, I can't.
Do you think your mom and your dad have a healthy...
I think my dad has a healthy sex life, just not with my mother. They don't have a sexy health life, a healthy sex life together. But anyway.
Well, your mom, of course, had to wear Poison. And I love this. Okay, wait. Yeah. She watches your Netflix special and gives you notes.
The problem is that I'm going out with a girl who actually does do that. So I guess it isn't a deal breaker. It's not an enjoyable thing. I have a TV show every fucking week. And she's just like, I did something about the gun massacre in Las Vegas. And she was like, interesting take. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
Not very supportive.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Well, very supportive. Actually, he's giving very.
We
supportive.
Might need to hand her the mic at this point.
But she does. She does give. No.
Yeah. For sure.
Here, introduce yourself first.
I'm Michaela. Hi.
Hi, Michaela, and you're fucking gorgeous and lovely, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I think I'm very supportive of him, by the way.
But critical.
critical in a good way. Isn't because that, I want him to be better.
Of course. Well, yeah.
Better than what?
No, just always striving to be the best.
Yeah. And it's like a supportive.
It's a supportive critical.
This is. I don't like where this podcast is heading.
Please don't leave yet.
All right. Next question. Come on.
Michaela, thank you for being here. Thank you. You are just fucking stunning. Okay, so she gets a parking ticket while using your car and doesn't offer to pay for it.
Once again, Michaela has done that, so. So that's,
I'm going to give her back the mic.
Yeah.
Getting hammered on this, huh, honey?
Well, it's true, though.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not a deal breaker.
Was there a rift? Like, did it cause like any tension?
Nah, I got money. It's just
and I was just cranky about the ticket, so.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing. I think any guy would do the same thing.
Yeah, most guys aren't going to. Yeah. Like,
I would have done the same thing.
Even if you're cranky about it, you can't be the guy that goes,
I would have offered to pay.
60 fucking bucks! You just got to.
For your happiness, just not to see her upset.
And then also you go, no problem, 60 bucks. Then you mumble as you go up to the bathroom, fucking idiot, you fucking perk, fuck it. And then you go on with your life.
You get over it.
Yeah, then you get over it and you move on.
Fair enough. Okay.
A lot of my life is just mumbling, just fucking, will you?
Okay. Passes gas in the car before she gives it to the valet as a joke.
No, I'd find that humorous. Why? Who would break up with that? You would never do that. You would never do that.
Well, I think it would be really difficult to also.
Don't stop encouraging it.
No. You are so double standard because you.
I fart in front of women, but I don't like it when women fart in front of me. That is a double standard.
I mean, and doesn't just fart. Like, if I farted like that, I say, if that ever happens to me, take me to the hospital because something is wrong. I am dying. And he does that on a daily basis.
Yeah, but I paid a fucking parking ticket, so. You know what I mean? So it's all a trade-off. We all have our things.
Dude, you are... I don't think you're being truthful with this one then.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it... Okay.
No, I'll tell you what. I don't want to be in the car.
She thinks it's funny.
I don't want to be in the car when she does it because I don't find it attractive to see women fart. And I know that's a double stand and it's a horrible thing. But if she came to me, she met me at the party, and she came to me and went, shh, come here. I just farted and then like let the valet in. I'd be like, all right, that's pretty funny.
See, here's the thing that where you're getting this a little bit wrong, because it's not a double standard because most women don't find it all that funny either.
Mm.
So if it might only be an inside joke within yourself.
Would you do that?
No, never.
You fart in front of guys?
Never.
Never in your whole life?
Never.
I could fart right now.
Yeah, how? Do it. Come on.
Just quickly.
I want to smell an Australian fart.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm in trouble.
Oh, come on.
I often fart on stage. Like, sometimes I'll be on stage, and halfway through a joke, I'll just move the microphone over to my ass and fart. And I can craft material.
You can really fart on command?
No, if I got one. It's not like I'm just like, I've got one right now, but I'm holding it in. But I fart a lot.
Was it everyone. The meatball?
No, it's just you fart a lot, don't you?
Well,
I reckon you fart on average 20 times a day. I do more than that, but everyone does 20 a day.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Really? No.
Yeah, wow. I do. I do like 40, 50. Look at
the ladies. There's four ladies in the room.
Cassie,
we are all shaking our heads.
The average amount. I mean, and is there any difference between genders? I'm curious about that as well.
The first thing I do in the morning is fart. It's like it's all built up. I wake up and then I push one out and I go, oh, and I'm ready to start my day. But I've never not woken up and farted straight away.
It is so mortifying. It's probably like,
why?
Because
farts don't smell. I'll give you that. For the most part, my farts are odorless.
It's just like you said, though. It's a double standard thing. It's like it's something that you, as a woman, you want to protect, like the idea, and it's fucked up. But this is how our society works. You want to protect the idea that you're a sexual being and those functions don't happen to you. And so then...
And you're right, though. I still do not believe that Amy, my fiance, I've been with her for 2 years. I've never seen her go to the bathroom. Ever.
You've never seen her go to the bathroom?
Never.
And that's why we're chronically constipated as a gender.
Even like in small hotel rooms, like how is she doing it?
Oh yeah, I don't know how people do it in small hotel rooms. That's why, yeah. But I took a shit yesterday in Michaela's apartment.
Tell us all about
Didn't
it.
Didn't even use the bathroom. Michaela hasn't been home yet. She doesn't even know it's there.
Wait. Michaela, will you say that?
Is this going to mortify you?
I don't give a fuck.
He's lactose intolerant, yeah. But he still eats cheese.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking warrior.
No, because
I still enjoy the good things in life.
He knows he's going to shit his pants, yet he still chooses.
But I really enjoy cheese. That's a passionate man. Don't you want passion in your life?
I like a risk.
This is why I won't be a vegan. I'm still eating cheese. I'm still eating cheese through lactose intolerance.
This one might be on you though. It takes me back to my apartment, and I have a little 2-bedroom apartment, 1 bathroom, and had macaroni and cheese, and is like, oh, but this is not agreeing with that. I feel like I'm going to go to war on our second date.
Yeah.
And goes into the bathroom.
What was I meant to do? Shit my pants?
Goes into the bathroom, and you can, I mean, I've never heard anything like it.
But this is on you, though, now at this point, Michaela.
Like, I just said,
listen,
okay.
And you know? I'm with you. I accept bodily functions.
Well, why are the toilets in the apartment then? We shouldn't even have them if they're not to be used. Like, what is this?
But you're an adult, and you know
like
that
ring
you,
the papers. You, man shits once a day.
You knew you couldn't have cheese.
No. It doesn't always. Sometimes
took
I win.
That chance on the second
it's
day.
It's a roll of the dice. Sometimes I win.
You rolled that dice.
But at that stage of the relationship, I still like cheese more than I did you. So I was willing to risk it.
Michaela, did you call your girlfriends?
Yes,
and
I did.
And what did they say?
My girlfriend said, "You fuck." An idiot to him that knew him. What are you doing? You're an idiot. Like, what do you want to impress her?
What do I need to? I don't understand why this is an argument. It wasn't the ideal situation. It wasn't what I wanted.
What were you?
Yeah, but I've got many fine qualities. I'm very funny. And I have a quirky accent. This is the trade-off for me shitting all over the place.
You offer value.
Yeah.
You offer a lot of value. If you were just a bum with no job, she wouldn't put up with it.
I'm a fun guy.
Exactly.
I got the Jim Jefferies show.
Exactly.
What a fucking dick.
This show probably exists because I shit in public and people think that's an edgy guy.
Oh, I'm finally uncovering it. Oh, I'm like your mom that's walking into you fucking masturbating. You are a fucking dick.
Why?
Oh.
I'm only joking. Come on, Anna.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I do that. It's a wonderful show every Tuesday, 10:30.
Okay. You ask how many partners she's had, and she says, do you want me to include my stepsister?
Oh, that's not a fucking deal breaker. That's a fucking, all right. Off to the races.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Like there wouldn't the be like a question. Second. There wouldn't be like a...
the next question. No, there's follow up questions.
Okay, sure.
Is Let's she do still it. Alive?
Yeah, she's still alive.
The stepsister's still alive?
Oh yeah, I visit her. Like I'm allowed to visit her like every 60 days. I don't always go.
Right.
But yeah, she's still
conjugal
alive.
Visits. Conjugal. Am I saying that right? Conjugal.
Yeah, you are. And no, yeah, I mean so. Because she's now at, like, she's not at the max security.
What did your stepsister do? I want to hear the whole backstory.
Well, she's in prison.
Yeah, but what did she do to get into prison?
Oh, what did she do? She chopped off her husband's dick. Oh. Yeah.
She's the Bobbitt woman?
No, but she was a copycat. Copycat Bobbitt.
Copycat Bobbitt?
Yeah. Yeah.
How is is the Bobbitt woman out yet? Can someone check that?
Cassie, is Lorena Bobbitt still in prison?
Average of farts, 14.
14 farts a day?
Yeah.
Thank you. And any difference between gender?
Well, they say that maybe men might do it more just because they eat faster.
Is that what it is? I eat really fast. Is that what it is?
I think it's that they're more relaxed. Like, I think that women live in like this tight, like abdominal space all the time. Like, I don't. Thank you, Michaela. I knew that you were my best friend. Do you want to leave your boyfriend?
Yes.
And come be with me?
Yes. Do that, please. You two belong together. You both think I'm an asshole.
If you were to, okay, so I have this theory on like why men like twins.
No, I don't like twins. I wouldn't want to have a threesome with twins. They already look the same.
You didn't even hear my
theory.
You
have a blonde and a brunette. You have a tall girl and a short girl. You mix it up.
But Kayla, how the fuck do you deal with this dude? Like, he doesn't even listen.
All right, come on, ask your question.
No.
I'm fascinated. Please tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
It's the first time you've been...
Come on. Tell me about the twins.
Fuck you.
Tell me about the twins.
All right, I'll tell you about my twin theory.
Okay, what's your twin theory?
All right, is like the idea that if men are having like a threesome... that they want both people to look alike so they don't have to think about individuality or like personality, or that like
it's just objectifying. It's just complete two
objects.
Yeah,
it's just like, this is just a pleasure. Here's a blonde. Here's
I don't think
blonde,
that's true. I don't
blonde,
think that's true.
No. I'd want different things, two different women.
Me too. Oh, because you guys are, what? Like what? You know how like,
I think you're the only one with this twin theory. We talked about this on a podcast 2 years
ago.
And
also, I don't like the mental health problems of two twins doing that either.
Okay, well, it's not so much that, but I think that the idea of two people that look a lot alike versus the idea of two people that look completely...
I don't want to be vastly different. I don't want the thinnest person in the world and the fattest person in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to still be... But I want there to be a little bit of something. And it's better if they're friends, but they're not fucking creepily sisters. You don't want that. You don't want the fucking mental health of two sisters fucking each other.
They drugged you.
They drugged you, and you don't even know
like what's what anymore. They just look exactly alike, and somebody
if they drugged me, they might as well both have dicks.
On something else.
It doesn't matter. If I'm drugged, just fucking pour it
would
on.
Would you prefer that?
I would have a threesome with a man and a woman. I actually kind of prefer that more than two women.
The devil's three-way.
Yeah, I like
that. Wait, what's that?
But I would never touch the man. I would never get involved with the man's dick.
You have to be very careful.
But I like
that. Whoa,
like
what is this devil's three-way thing? What is that?
It's two men and one girl.
I didn't know that
one woman.
What it was called.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different colloquialisms on that one.
Seems kind of sexist to me.
No, I wouldn't be with men. I just said that. I said
sexist
I wouldn't.
And homophobic.
I wouldn't be involved with the other guy's dick or anything like that. But
you would be involved in the devil's threesome.
Yes, I would. I would do tag team.
Yeah. Action.
Yeah, I would do that. I think that's most of the porn I watch for whatever reason. It's good. I'm glad. My mum can download a podcast, by the way.
Sim, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do a 5-minute break, and then we have advice calls. Are you ready to give some advice?
People are calling in. I'm giving advice or getting advice?
No, you are going to be giving advice to two callers that are excited to talk to three of us about their relationships.
Okay.
We are going to get to the calls now. We're going to start right now with Miranda.
Okay.
And Miranda is in Kansas, and she's 25. She has a...
Miranda.
She kind of has a crazy story, guys, so let's try and help
her. Hello, this is Miranda.
Hey, Miranda, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi, Sim. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, Miranda. It's Anna.
Oh, hi, Anna.
Hi, Miranda. It's Jim Jefferies.
This is Jim Jefferies.
Hey, thanks so much for...
Great to talk with you.
...for doing this.
Hey, Miranda, you have a personal story to share about your husband, and then we're going to try and give you some advice. So tell us what's going on.
Great. Thank you. So I met my husband my very first day of college in 2010, and then we dated for 3 years. He proposed... And then we got married a week after I graduated from college. So then the next year we spent in Kansas, where we both found full-time jobs. And then my husband got accepted into graduate school. So we moved to Michigan and I kept my job, but was able to work remotely from home and support him while he pursued his graduate degree. So we've been married for about 3.5 years now, and then the second week of July this year, he sat me down, and he looked at me, and he asked me, Miranda, do I seem happy to you? And me not really knowing where this is going or anything was like, yeah, I think you're generally a happy person. And then he said, there's no easy way to tell you this, but I'm transgender. And I was able to respond and say that I was so sorry that he had kept that secret for so long. And I was very thankful that he trusted me enough to tell me. And internally, I was just adrenaline and screaming and confusion. The next week, I left for a work trip back in Kansas and was gone for 10 days. And then I came back and we were, you know, talking more about what this means, like how far does he want to transition and what does this mean for our relationship? And I struggled with my own sexual identity through this. Like, I married this one person, but now that person really doesn't exist. Like, that's not my husband anymore. So he decided that he would like to fully transition, and really that showed me I don't think I have a place in the relationship anymore as a wife. And
can I
was supportive of me through that.
Does he consider himself, when he's transitioning into a woman, does he consider himself to be transitioning into a lesbian, or is he transitioning into a heterosexual woman?
That's a really great question. In these early stages, we really thought that we would stay together and be perceived as a lesbian couple. But with hormone therapy and things like that, there's really no guarantee as to what sexual identity is going to look like farther down the road.
So wait, I want to know more about you though. Are you feeling completely heartbroken, or do you think that you could still be her partner? Do you want to? I mean, God, it must be such a confusing headspace for you.
Yeah, it's probably the worst thing that I've ever gone through. And I ultimately decided to file for divorce. And so I did that about a month ago. And I moved out because I kept having panic attacks and was just really heartbroken anytime I would see pictures of us and, you know, thinking that everything was happy and the plans that we had together, you know, growing old as husband and wife really wasn't going to happen anymore.
Are there children involved?
No children.
Do you think, was that, this is sort of a sidebar, but was that an intentional decision, or was that something that, had you guys talked about having kids and then decided not to, or was that just something? And the reason why I ask this is because, with my first marriage, we had sort of talked about having kids, but then we never got around to it. And I think ultimately there was sort of this underlying, there was like an undercurrent of knowing that, well, maybe like not having kids was because we sort of knew that there may have been a finality to the relationship.
This whole process brought to mind that I really do want to have kids.
Well, you're 25.
Right.
You know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Like, I think if you love this person, that the old cliche of let them go, and she or he or she now is on her own path, and you'd have to go on your own as well, I believe.
Hey, Miranda, what's your anger level though? Because I also understand the element. I think there's a reason why you brought up the idea that you supported him, and also having been in that situation a couple times in my life, does that factor into things, like in terms of sort of resentment and anger, and like, do you feel like, man, this Does that make any sense? I'm not quite sure how to frame the question gently.
No, there's definitely anger, and most of the anger is more at the situation than it is at the person.
Are you close with your family? What do your friends or family say about this? And are they helpful?
It's been pretty good with my family. I'd say everyone has been very supportive of me. I had a little bit of a rough patch with my mom where she kind of lashed out with all kinds of emotions and said a lot of hurtful things, but I think really just more out of shock and
like towards him or towards you?
Towards our relationship.
Was it like how, like, didn't you know? Or was it like, what a fucking like fraud? Or like what, I just want to know the context because I want to know your support system.
Yeah, she said that, you know, him moving me all the way to Michigan and then having me work from home was isolating me, and he was really controlling me in our relationship, and how she had never seen me happy except for two times in our entire marriage and relationship. And I was just baffled by these things. I was like, first off, me deciding to work from home was my decision. And secondly, how can you know if I'm happy or not without being around me, Mom?
Do you think that your husband is involved with anybody else?
No.
And how much, like in the divorce process, can you like sort of gauge on a scale from 1 to 10, how much you'll miss him?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing right now is, you know, not having somebody to come home and hug.
Yeah.
Or somebody to, like, do a silly dance in the kitchen while we're cooking dinner, or cuddle on the couch and watch SNL. Like, it's things like that that I miss.
Yeah.
But I feel more betrayed.
Yeah.
Right
and,
now.
Yeah, of course. And I imagine lonely. You know, because mm-hmm. you married somebody that, you know, and you had the vision for your life, and suddenly this person that's your partner is like, I have another vision for my for our lives. And
really, whether I decided to stay or whether I decided to go, no matter what, I lost my husband.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you a version of your husband that you knew, but oh gosh, this is where like what's racing around in my head is like, I'm unqualified.
And I talked to Miranda about this. You know, when we spoke earlier, I told her, you know, this is going to be really tough and I don't know how we're going to help you, but I know that it's going to help. Is it helping you to talk about this, Miranda? At least just having us listen to you?
And the questions that you guys are asking are really, I think, important questions to ask.
I know that, your call, like, and I want to, like, I don't, I hope this doesn't sound like a conclusatory, is that even a word? I don't know. But you calling and talking about this is going to help a lot of other people, I hope, just simply that you're sharing your experience. And you know, I don't know, my mom used to always, I talk about this a lot on the podcast, my mom used to always tell me, when I was growing up, to be selfish in love, but because I was so insecure, I would just like fall for anybody that showed interest in me at all. But I think that it's an important thing to sort of embrace, especially for you right now, because what he's asking of you or she is a lot of generosity. And that will be up to you to sort of determine if you want to embrace that and sort of move forward with this whole new idea in life, or if you want to take a minute for yourself and think like, okay, is this something that I think. There's no way at the end, like when you're 86, that you want to look back and think that you gave all of yourself to something that you weren't fully embracing.
Also, a simple answer is you're not a lesbian. You said you want to have kids. Luckily enough, you don't have kids. The simple, like, tough love answer, in my opinion, is get out of this relationship. If you want to remain friends, if you still love this person and you want to be there as a shoulder or as whatever, you can continue to do that. But you owe it more to yourself to live the life that you signed up to, and you didn't sign up to this. This isn't your sexuality. This isn't what you want from your future. And so give support, give love, but you have to take care of yourself.
Miranda, two practical questions. Can he afford, or she, sorry, afford the surgery? Like, just the practicalness of, like, is this something that's happening in the next year? Or would that be something that you would potentially need to also financially support?
It's something where there are different insurance packages that do cover that with the graduate program. So if it is something that will be covered and I won't have financial responsibility over.
Did you get any, because I'm still, what's lurking in the, also the in the back of my brain is I also wonder, I still wonder if there isn't somebody else or something along those lines of that. And maybe that's me being...
Why do you think that?
I don't get that at all.
Because...
There's already enough big stuff going on. It's not like...
No. And I don't mean to like plant any seeds. I guess I am. But because I think that...
There's already been deception, there's already been lies, there's already been things. So I know what you're saying, when you lie, it's easier to lie some more and to make the web bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think, look, I feel sorry for everybody involved. I feel sorry for him as well. That's a horrible thing that he's had to keep secret and transitioning to the thing. But, you know.
Because I just wonder if there's somebody else that he must have confided in. Or like had shared, I to some degree, whether there was like physical or not.
You're saying this decision is too big to make on your own.
I'm saying that I wonder if like between the close, like are they best friends? Are they soulmates? Or is there somebody else that also feeds his soul? That this has been like something that...
Does it have to be a lover? Could it be another
friend?
Yes,
exactly. Yes, completely. Totally could be. I just want to know because if there isn't anyone else, then there's that would be a different motive for keeping not necessarily the marriage together at all, but keeping a strong friendship and relationship. If there is somebody else who is a part of...
But why wouldn't... So you're saying that you couldn't keep the friendship if there wasn't?
I'm just saying it's a different thing. Does that make sense?
What's wrong with just cutting people free?
You
get rid of people if they're in your...
But there's an argument to be made for like fucking love and friendship for the rest of your life, even if you don't continue the marriage or even if you don't like, you know, if you never have kids again, there's an argument to be made for like keeping somebody close in your life that you love. But so I don't know, maybe examine some of those things. I hear a dog in the background. Are you nervous about like the dog sharing element?
No. So I moved out. And so I'm actually at my sister's house right now, and so that's my sister's dog.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Because I was also worried about, like, who gets the dog.
Yeah. But so part of the reason that she came out is that 3 days before she did so, we had gone to my best friend's wedding, and so there was a lot of merriment and, you know, alcohol involved. And my spouse's dad passed away early on in our relationship. And the dad had a drinking problem. And so after drinking too much and after those deep thoughts and things like that. That's one of the reasons that she came out, is that she thought that her, she could see herself living in secret for the rest of her life, like her dad did, about his drinking problem, and just being completely miserable and feeling like there was a secret. I was the very first person that she told, and I still feel like I'm a bit of a confidant and a friend.
Yeah, of course.
But all of the romantic aspects of a relationship is kind of gone. Like, I don't get the good morning, beautiful text anymore. I don't get the, hey, I love you, I just wanted to let you know that anymore. Like, it's all...
Take care of yourself. That's all I can tell you. Take care of yourself. This is...
Because you won't be able to love properly unless you're loved. And I think that she is taking this time and going through her journey. And you should feel the right and obligation to yourself to do the exact same thing. I think it was really smart that you filed for divorce. Because I think that... I think that you have to like follow your gut on this, and please don't feel guilty for that at all. And I hope that she doesn't make you feel guilty, because I hope that, you know, she understands that it's a big ask to say to your partner, I've been suppressing this big thing in my life that I feel, and I didn't tell you about it before, because maybe she did. Of course, she probably didn't know, or maybe she didn't feel like she could actually, be who she really was. And, you know, we all have these societal obligations. I hope that there's a world where after this initial pain, Miranda, that, in like a year from now, when it sort of, because time, you know, it heals it all and pain dissipates, but that that you guys could be really close friends. I also hope that you find exactly the love of your life, and maybe it is her, but maybe it's not. And you know, maybe it's with another man and you have like 18 fucking kids and you have a reality show. And if you have a reality show, you could make some money and then come on the podcast, and I'll be like, Miranda, remember when?
Yeah, I honestly think in 20 years you're just going to have like a really great story to tell at parties. Your life, I'm being serious. Your life will be completely different. You'll have a new fella. You'll have kids. You'll be like that, and you'll be like, "Remember when I was married to a woman for a while? That was weird."
But the crazy thing is, as we enter like marriage and everything, as we like become adults, we have this. Especially for women, we have this plan for our life. We feel the pressure of the trajectory, and it's like, you know, college, career, marriage, kids, and then, you know, whatever, like vacation in Hawaii or whatever. But life rarely turns out like that. And you know, for good reason, because it shouldn't necessarily like be a completely predictable path. That would be frustrating.
Then we won't have the good stories.
Yeah.
Hey, Miranda, this has been really powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
I cannot thank you enough. Yes, for being vulnerable and open. And I know that I think a lot of our listeners are going to respond to this. I'm so grateful that you shared this with us. I wish I could like.
Well, why don't we talk to her again? Should we make it 6 months?
Sooner.
Three months?
Yeah. Oh, sooner. Yeah. Can we call you like in a few weeks, Miranda?
What do you
Would
think,
that be okay?
Miranda? Is that okay? check in on you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have a little divorce check in.
I would love that. And we can do it like on the podcast or not on the podcast.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really impressed with you and yeah,
thank you so much, Miranda. Yeah. And we're going to talk in a few weeks.
Yeah, thank you all for being so gracious and kind with me. I really appreciate Unqualified and the great team that makes this all happen. So thank you and love you guys.
Love you. We love you so much, Miranda. Thank you.
Bye. We're not going to do another call. We're going to end on this because I don't think we should do another call after that.
Yeah.
But we should say bye to
you don't do other calls after that one? I thought...
That was impressive.
I my opinion on the matter is you're already divorced.
Here, you're taking the mic right now. I want to hear your thoughts.
I thought that you were very empathetic and it's just a hard situation.
She's looking at me, Jim. Yeah.
I know, but that's the whole thing.
You can't just cut someone loose after that. She has...
No one said that she had to cut her loose. The lady's already filed for divorce. She's in a marriage where the guy is now a woman. She did not sign up to be a lesbian. Even if she could convince herself to become a lesbian, the person is not showing any type of reciprocal, I love yous, I miss yous, I find you so sexy, or whatever texts or anything like that. There is no love being brought to her. She should be happy in a sense that she can get out of this and there's no children involved and there can be a clean cut and all that type of stuff. So,
I think that she needed to hear from a woman the empathetic view of keeping the. I know, and I think that was great of keeping the friendship.
If she wants,
and the anger that she feels, she needed to get that out there. I mean, that's
completely.
And she's probably going. What did I not see? Were there signs that I missed? I'm sure she's feeling.
Oh, I'm sure you
guilt
have to
about
be
that.
Like,
and
you're so right, Michaela. But
every breakup was there signs that I missed. Every affair.
Well, of course.
Single breakup I notice? Just because this is such an exact story, the person wanted to become a woman. This is so exact that we go, why can't... But every single breakup has a, why didn't I see the signs?
Of course.
Yes, yeah. But this is to the 100th degree. I mean, this is a pretty dramatic thing.
And if she doesn't have
through.
Like the support system necessarily of
if
like
she doesn't
friends
have the support system
and family,
because a lot
that's
of people
incredibly lonely.
Where was she calling from? Did they I mean, hello.
And is
she probably really out there? It's,
what are you saying about the people of Kansas? That they're not transgender friendly?
No,
that it's
I'm
the
just,
worst place in the world? It's not like
not
she was calling
saying,
from Saudi Arabia.
I'm not saying that, but it's
Kansas. They
I'm
have
not,
a pride parade, you know.
But she probably doesn't have maybe the support.
Oh, she'd have
and the
Toto and a spinning house. She'd have some things.
Yes, completely.
This is not something that is accepted by everyone to just talk about. I mean, she said that her mom was very, you know, said to her, well, you did this and put a lot of blame on her. And that's...
And every time, I think that one of the things that we set ourselves up for in society with marriage especially is like the public proclamation of exactly. of the institution and then when things don't work out it's the funniest thing, like other people don't necessarily shame you for or even think too much about anybody else's lives, but you feel that sense of like, oh,
everybody's
proclaimed
yes.
in front of my loved ones
yes.
that this was the rest of my life and I was proud or whatever. And then it's like, but point being that you feel that thing of like, oh, now other people in my life might think that I'm a failure.
Everybody's looking at me and judging what, yes, of course.
But, this is definitely, I would think, an extreme case a bit. And, I am so fucking unqualified to be talking about
any
of this shit.
No, I think that what you said to her was wonderful. I think that you, the way that you worded it, you were kind, you were empathetic, as I said. I think that, I mean, it, and checking in on her was, that's, I mean, women need other women like that. They need that support system, especially. I agree with you.
Maybe she should have stayed with her husband so she had more women around her.
I'm just wondering.
I don't know what we're doing here.
All of y'all could leave and Michaela and I could have a moment alone together. Because she's sitting over there with her amazing cleavage.
But yeah, thank you. But you know, men sometimes think so logically of, well, just cut her loose or cut.
No, I've never said for a second that it wouldn't be hard or painful. I believe it would be an extremely stressful situation to be going through. But the practicality is.
I want to see you on a boat with a tiger.
The practicality is.
Yes. The practicality. I would too. My God.
That would never happen. I'm not outdoorsy.
He's not.
Okay. Hey, Jim Jeffrey.
Yes. Jim Jeffrey?
Jim Jeffries. Okay, so your show is, it's a late night political talk show.
Well, it's a news show, but it just turns out all the news is these days is politics, so it has to be a political show, but that's not the intention of the show. But
it airs on Tuesdays.
10:30.
10:30, 9:30 Central on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Also you have the Jim Jeffries Show podcast.
Which comes out on Wednesdays, I believe. We record on Tuesdays.
I like it. I think it's good.
It's all right. Yeah.
That was such like a
I told him outside. I told him outside. I know I thought
you
did, it was good.
Which was, you were much more enthusiastic outside.
Yes.
You're right. We're only three episodes in, so it'll get
Sim's better. Getting tired. His heart races like a little rabbit. And he was all anxious before, and he was pacing up and down. Now he's getting a little bit sleepy.
Yeah, it's getting to bedtime. I gotta get back to work. I gotta get back to work.
But you also have a comedy tour that kicks off October 13th.
Well, that's the comedy tour goes until I die. People always ask me how my tour is going. I just perform like four times a week.
Hey, Jim. So
I'll be performing somewhere near you eventually.
Jim Jeffries, will you ask me? Will you ask me? No, I'm gonna ask you. Sorry, I think I have fleas. But can I ask you about the appeal of stand-up? Because I feel like stand-up comedians, they will do it until they die.
Yeah, right? I'd like to have gigs in the diary when I die. I'd like, you know, if I'd like to die with some cancellations.
But what's what? Will you describe the rush?
Some people angry. You have to get refunds.
Will you describe the rush a bit?
I like it because it's that thing that, you know, you can't fire me from it. Everything else, you get an acting job or a TV job or something, so it can end. And you know, like I'm sure I can get a mental illness or something like that or lose. But quintessentially,
get one. Yeah.
But you can always just go out and do it. It just doesn't take much time, and it's not censored in the same way that everything else is. You know. That we have to do in this business where the lawyers come in and all that type of stuff. And, you know, and also it was the thing that I was doing when I was 17. I wasn't a late night show host when I was 17. That wasn't my first love in the world. It wasn't something I ever thought about doing, but I'd always loved stand-up comedy. And I think if I could be like Don Rickles or something at the end, that would be great. If I could, or George Carlin, that would be fantastic to be an old man just telling jokes right up until the bitter end. I want to be like Tom Petty, man. I want to do a show and then be dead like 2 days later.
I will say he is brilliant at his comedy. He doesn't write down anything, which is insane
that's
to me.
That's fucking crazy.
Many people would argue that's the opposite of brilliance.
No, he's...
He's very lazy.
No, it's not lazy. He doesn't write down anything. He just... everything's off the cuffs. I mean, I see him go out there and he just... What he does is incredible.
That's so fucking rad.
It is. It's pretty remarkable. So,
hey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Anna.
And thank you, dear Anna? Listeners. I do say Anna, but in an Australian accent, it Anna? Doesn't give a... I actually, it's my parents' fault, so I can't like...
Anna.
I used to do a thing. I haven't done that so much anymore.
Yeah, you stopped for a while. Well, you know, the last few conversations were really intense, the last few podcasts.
I keep forgetting.
Do we sing at the end?
No, I just always would tell, I would sign off by telling Sim to, like, fuck you. I would say, fuck you, Sim. And
or
I
fuck off,
like,
or some variation of fuck.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, is that
Go
a big
fuck
one?
Yourself is a good one.
You could
cut
say,
off your dick and fuck yourself.
That's a great one.
Yeah. We're going to cut off your dick and we're going to fuck you with it.
Oh my God. All right. Thank you guys. Good night.
I love you.